Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome in here to KSMC 89.5 FM. My name is Daniel Conmey, and I am here live with you today for another installment of RBI, just Radio Baseball Info, where I talk baseball for just about an hour, and it's the greatest thing, I think, ever. Of course, for me, that is. But we're going to get in here really fast, and I apologize if you are a podcast listener right now. There might be a lot of background noise. There is an event going out side right in front of me, so I apologize in advance if there is some background noise. But anyways, let's get our show started. Different kind of show. I'm going to go over what I've gone over the past couple days or past couple weeks with the standings for each division, but I'm going to go at a faster pace, not really focus on each team, but more focus on the division as a whole. And then I'm going to try to go into some games that, I don't know, I thought were cool. I'm going to talk about Felix Hernandez's 100th win, if I'm saying that right, Felix Hernandez and his 100th win, and go about that. I mean, how great of a pitcher he is. And I also want to talk about another young stud, Matt Harvey, who was able to out-duel Steven Strasburg, who is 1-3 this year. Also, I want to talk about some other pitchers doing a good job so far at the start of the year, and a little bit about, you know, early in the season baseball, is it that important, you know, or do you really just need to be really, really good at the end of the year? And, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later, but first, let's start off here with the American League West standings. Leading the AL West now is a new leader in the Texas Rangers, going 13-6 right now. Oakland at 12-8, dropping, I believe, their last three, if not their last four. The Angels are now in third place at 7-11. They're climbing right up, on up. And Seattle's 8-13. And the Houston Astros are 5-14. And, you know, division as a whole, interesting to see Oakland, I guess, second. The Angels still under 500 at this point. We're 18 games into the season. You know, 20 for some other teams. But really, a long ways to go. I've said this every week so far. You know, Mike Trout. But actually, this is the interesting thing, though. The Angels, the people that are contributing, it's not necessarily the Mike Trouts and the Pujoses and the Hamiltons. It's more Iannetta, I think, has stepped up a lot and had a couple big RBIs, especially in the game yesterday. But they've done well. They beat a good Tigers team a couple times over the weekend. So, you know, hopefully they're able to build off of that. And, you know, as much as you might love to hate them because they basically bought all their guys, I know a lot are homegrown. I guess Mike Trout really is the only one that comes to mind. Well, Trumbo and Trout are homegrown, but, you know, you got Pujols and stuff like that, so you might love to hate them because they go out and buy their players, but, you know, it'll be exciting to see them if they're able to make the playoffs because, you know, you want to see the best teams in the playoffs, and I believe they are going to be one of the best teams at the end of the year. Say, Oakland A's have fallen upon hard times. They're 12-8 right now. I see them being a contender at the end of the year, and I don't know why, because they didn't change anything from last year, and a lot of people think they got lucky last year. But it's one of those things, you know, new field of thinking, you know, like sabermetrics. That style of thinking is more Billy Beane's way, and it works. You know, you saw it with the Red Sox in 04 and I believe also 07, winning the World Series. They did a lot of that on sabermetrics stuff with Bill James. He's like the creator of sabermetrics. Very interesting. I'm not, you know, fully into sabermetrics like these guys are, but I think the Oakland A's will stay there. And same with the Texas Rangers. That'll be a three-team race for sure. Unfortunately, Matt Harrison, I believe this was news last week, is on the DL now with, I think he's having back surgery or he's having back problems. So he'll be on the DL, I think, the 15-day DL, and he might be out for at least a month or two. So really a huge blow for that Texas pitching staff, but I think they'll be just fine. They still have a great offense, and really up and down that lineup is a great team. So they'll be just fine in that AL West, and it'll be a great race. Next, we move over to the AL Central, and this one's a little interesting, that's for sure. Kansas City is leading 10-7, and interesting, you know, a lot of people think their trade was stupid. I guess that's a poor choice of words. It was not in their best interest for the next couple of years to trade away Will Myers, but they got James Shields and Wade Davis, and they both have been pitching well for them. I believe James Shields shut out the Red Sox when they played them last week, so really a good pitching performance from him. And they've done a good job, 10-7. Minnesota Twins are at 8-7 right now. Interesting there. You know, they traded a lot of guys for pitching, and their pitching's doing enough. Joe Mauer and Justin Morneau at one point were the best 1-2 duo. Unfortunately, Mauer is still doing it. His average is always up there. Power supply isn't necessarily there. Big Park as well, but Morneau, you know, questionable, especially after that concussion, which is disappointing and sad to see from such a great player at one time, especially winning an AL MVP. Next, the Detroit Tigers at 9-9, who I believe will win this division. You know, I think they're just going to take a while to get on a roll. And with the Tigers, they brought up Bruce Rondon, who should be their eventual closer in the future. He had a poor spring training outing, sent him down to AAA to start off the year. So he's brought up because Octavio Dotel, the man that has been basically on every team ever since the existence of baseball, has gone on the DL. So that is why Bruce Rondon was called up. Next, we have the Cleveland Indians at 8-10, and they're 2.5 back of Kansas City. And, you know, they could be very, very good this year. Justin Mastin leading that team. Michael Bourne, who I believe is injured. I don't know if he's necessarily on the DL, but he did have a wrist injury a little bit. Nick Swisher, Mark Reynolds, Yan Gomes, Brazilian player, first Brazilian baseball player, which that's more of a cool story, you know, but he's been contributing as of late. You know, they have a pretty good team there. Michael Brantley as well is a pretty good leadoff hitter. So I don't know about Cleveland, though. I love Terry Francona, especially Red Sox fan with the Red Sox. I think he's a great manager, and that's what you need to really start to have a good team. Nick Swisher, you know, a lot of people love to hate him because of the way he plays, but he's energetic, and I think it brings out the best in the team. Jubel Cabrera is a pretty good shortstop as well. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they're going to be able to stand the test of time. Cleveland's, you know, gone a couple years in a row now where they, you know, fade at the All-Star break, which is unfortunate for them. And, of course, their I guess, fans. Of course, there's been some chatting with Chris Perez, the closer, in the fan base. And next we have the Chicago White Sox at 7-12. And they're very interesting. Last year, I believe they were in the race for the longest time, and they just lost it at the end to Detroit. But, you know, they have the same team, Alex Rios, Adam Dunn, Paul Konerko. Paul Konerko's getting older. He's not going to be able to do as much as he has done in the past. Jake Peavy is one of their aces. Chris Sale from Florida Gulf Coast College. You know, he's definitely their ace. A lot of good pieces on that team, but I don't necessarily know if those pieces are really exactly what they need, you know, there. So it'll be interesting to see if they're going to be able to make some noise this year. I mean, at 7-12, this AL Central is very, very close and tight-knit together. You know, four games between all of them, between the top team and the bottom team. So it'll be interesting to see with the AL Central. For some reason, the AL Central always seems like a very weak, weak division, and I think it's going to be the case as well unless the Tigers are really able to prevail. Of course, I say that, and, you know, AL Central, the Tigers were able to make it to the World Series, but as a division as a whole. Anyways, we go to the AL East now, and Boston is up top at 13-6. Baltimore is at 11-8, and the New York Yankees are at 10-8. Tampa Bay is at 9-10, and Toronto at 8-12. And very interesting with these standings. I think the AL East is up for grabs. I think all five teams are capable. And, but the thing is, at the end of the year, not all five teams will be there. So it'll be interesting to see who really rises to the top, you know, through the test of the AL East. Because I still think it's a very, very good division. Although I do have to agree that the AL West and the NL West even have become the stronger divisions in the NL East as well. But I think Boston has surprised some people, especially myself, especially with their trades in the offseason, you know, giving so much money to Shane Victorino when I didn't think he deserved that much. Napoli signing, you know, he's done well. He's actually the leading RBI man with 25. I'll get to that later. But really, the most important thing, the reason why they're 13-6, is because of Clay Buchholz and John Lester. They have pitched their butts off this year so far. And both of them are undefeated at this point. Lester at 3-0, Buchholz at 4-0. I'll get to those pitching stats later along with all the other ones. They have a great pitching staff right now, and that's one of those things, though. You know, will they be able to continue that? They have a great team. They really do, so it'll be interesting to see if Boston is able to stay relevant. I don't trust that bullpen. Andrew Bailey is not the closer. I don't trust that whatsoever. Same with Joel Hanrahan. Both have given up blown saves already this year. So very scared to see if you are a Boston fan, though. But one thing I do have to say about Boston, as you know, the Boston bombings, my thoughts and prayers, of course, go out to all those affected. But really, an amazing day. They called off their game when the manhunt was going down in Boston. And the next day, they're able to win 4-3. And Daniel Nava just hit a three-run homer, I believe, in the bottom of the eighth inning. And that place erupted. And really, just a great scene, for sure. Awesome to see. You know, sports are so amazing for, like, I guess, a way to cope with disasters and problems that happen in a city. And, you know, you saw it with 9/11 and the New York Mets and Yankees. And you see it now with the Boston Marathon bombings and with the Red Sox. So very nice to see, as well as the Boston Bruins, if you haven't been able to see it, a chilling national anthem where everyone in the stadium starts to sing it. Very, very amazing. Of course, I'm tearing up a little bit right now talking about it. But it's a very, very empowering type of thing to watch. So I definitely hope that you're able to watch it sometime if you have not already. So, you know, good to see Boston win that game. That's definitely an important, you know, thing for their city more than anything else. But I think that's it really for the AL East. Matt Moore for the Tampa Bay Rays pitched an absolutely fantastic game against the Yankees yesterday. I believe he went 8 innings, only giving up 1 run, if that. So a great game for Matt Moore. And then Toronto Blue Jays at 8-12. I see them staying down there because Jose Reyes, who is the catalyst for that team, went down. And I don't think they have enough pieces. What if Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion can't actually do it, which they haven't to this point? So it'll be interesting to see the dynamic of the AL East. You know, it's going to change a lot throughout the year. So all these predictions are just, you know, kind of putting it out there what I think. Of course, I've done this every week so far. Anyways, we're going to move to the NL West now. And the NL West is a very, very tight-knit division once again. I mean, I think there's going to be four contenders this year. We have Colorado Rockies up top at 13-5, then the San Francisco Giants at 13-7, Arizona Diamondbacks at 10-9, Dodgers at 8-10, and then San Diego at 5-14. And this is interesting. Dodgers at 8-10. I believe they'll be there at the end of the year. Unfortunately, with the Zach Greinke problem, you know, they need more pitching, and Clayton Kershaw will definitely step up for that team, but what about the other pitchers on that team? Will they really do enough, and will they be able to lead the Dodgers to some relevance in that NL West? Because right now, they're legitimately three teams better than them, and not just on records. They really are playing better. Colorado is doing enough on the pitching side. I really don't trust their pitching, but they got a great offense there in Coors Field. And there's a great game, I believe, starting, actually, it should be starting just about now. And it's the Atlanta Braves against the Colorado Rockies. So that'll be a very, very interesting game. And it looks like it's in the top of the first right now. So the NL West will, I think, is just up for grabs. San Francisco has, I guess, say some veteran presence, some postseason experience, as well as a great pitching staff. And, you know, through the long run of a whole season, pitching definitely prevails over hitting. And then the Diamondbacks at 10-9, I think they're a very balanced team. I like them a lot. I like Paul Goldschmidt. I think he's a great player. Aaron Hill as well. I think Willie Bloomquist is still there, the shortstop. Didi Gregorius was able to come up and actually, you know, do some nice things for them so far. He'll be more of a future guy, not necessarily this year. They have Ian Kennedy as their ace. And I see them being relevant for at least until the All-Star break, if not the whole year. So it'll be interesting to see this NL West pan out, of course, throughout the whole year. Next, we go to the NL Central, and the Cincinnati Reds are on top of this division at 12-8. The St. Louis Cardinals at 11-8. The Milwaukee Brewers at 10-8. The Pittsburgh Pirates at 10-9. And the Chicago Cubs at 5-13. Very interesting here. Reds, I think, are the best team throughout, but at the same time, the Cardinals just win. And I say that in just the most amazing way, that they are just able to win year in and year out, and they're going to be there. They're the Patriots of baseball, in the sense that they're going to be there. They're going to, you know, they lost some guys. It doesn't matter. You know, they're going to have a good team every year. You know, they lost Kyle Loesch. That's okay. They have Shelby Miller coming up, who is a prospect. So, you know, they have guys, you know, in the waiting. They have Oscar Tavares, and very interesting, should Oscar Tavares be traded for Jerks and Profar, because that fills both of the team's needs. Very interesting to see if that will go down. It would definitely probably be a straight-up trade, but more speculation than anything else, but I don't want to get too much into that right now, of course. And then the Cardinals at 11, like I said, 11-8. Milwaukee at 10-8. Very interesting with Milwaukee. I don't necessarily see them being a team contending at the end of the year. Ryan Braun is, I mean, he, you know, perennial MVP candidate. He's a very, very good player. I thought he should have won it last year because of it, his stats, obviously. His team didn't make it to the playoffs, so Buster Posey obviously gets that, which is very understandable. But, of course, the surprise team here is the Pittsburgh Pirates at 10-9 right now. And they have some things going for them, of course. A.J. Burnett, one of their starting pitchers. Andrew McCutchen, Starling Marte. They have Russell Martin as a catcher. Russell Martin has not stepped up in the catching department as of late, but they're able to get some good wins against the Atlanta Braves. And, of course, the Atlanta Braves in the NL East are leading that division at 13-5, and then the New York Mets at 9-8. The Washington Nationals at 10-9. Philadelphia Phillies at 9-11, and Miami at 4-15. So this one is a very interesting race as well. I don't think the Mets are going to stay relevant. I think the Nationals and the Braves are going to headline this division. And honestly, I see the Philadelphia Phillies finishing third, and a good third place for the Phillies. I think they have great pitching. Roy Halladay, once again, able to, you know, have a good start. I think his start before the last one, going 8 innings, winning his 200th victory. Cliff Lee is very dominant as a pitcher. But at the same time, I don't think their hitting is necessarily up to par with the Nationals and the Braves. And it'll be very interesting to see a sophomore season for Bryce Harper has gone well to this point. I believe he has 6 or 7 home runs at this point. And really, he's a great player. As much as a lot of people love to hate him, let me look up his stats really fast. He is a fantastic player, and he's, I believe, 20 years old right now, if not 21. You know, not able really to legally drink yet, which is interesting, of course. He's going to be looks like he'll be turning 21. Let's see if I'm not mistaken. Month 10? Oh, man, I'm horrible with that. Looks like October, I believe, he'll be turning 21, so he's got a long ways to go. But his stats so far this season, he's hitting .353 with a .421 on base percentage. He has 7 home runs and 14 RBIs and 3 doubles. So he's definitely done a good job. He had, I think, 2 home runs in a game against the New York Mets, and one of them was a go-ahead home run in the 8th inning. So he came up in a very, very big spot. So very good to see from your young player. And, you know, very interesting to see from every league and division to see the young players that are very, very productive right now. Who's going to, you know, be able to be productive throughout the long run of the season? We'll talk about that a little bit more. But really fast, guys, we're going to be taking a quick break. And we're going to be coming back and coming into some pitching stats up and down the league. I love pitching because I can't do it. I wish I could. Maybe I'd be in the pros. But very good teams with very good pitchers, and you're going to probably see, you know, a correlation here. A lot of these teams, you know, that are winning and are on top of the divisions have a lot of pitchers in the top probably 20 of each of these categories that I'm going to be going over. Anyways, guys, we're going to be taking a quick break, and I'll be right back with you guys after this quick music break. Keep it locked here on 89.5 FM. This is RBI, and my name is Daniel Conley, if you want to spread the word around. Anyways, guys, see you in a little bit. All right, guys, and we are back here on KSMC 89.5 FM. And my name is Daniel Conmee, and really fast, welcome in if you guys are just joining me. And if you guys are in the area, this is a little bit, of course, self-promotion. I wrote in the Collegian, which is the newspaper for St. Mary's, and I wrote 2 articles, a baseball and softball article. If you guys could pick that up and take it a read and, you know, really read the whole newspaper. It's definitely a good production. I hope you guys are able to pick that up. And, of course, check that out in the future. It's definitely very much based on St. Mary's sports. So that is that. Anyways, guys, enough talking about myself and what I want you guys to do. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty and, you know, the stats, you know, of course, that people love to look at. I'm very big on stats because that really shows how well you are doing. Some people can't, you know, say stats don't mean everything, and I totally agree, but at the same time, you know, it's a good placeholder to see where you're at. You know, for hitters, if you have a bad average but you know you're hitting the crap out of the ball, then, you know, by all means, don't look at stats, but at sometimes it definitely helps you, you know, see where you're at. Anyways, we're going to be starting off with some ERA totals for starting pitchers, and I'm going to go over the first five because I think this is very important. And the first, you know, the top guy for ERA right now is Clay Buchholz, who is also 4-0. Excuse me for a second. Sorry, guys, my bad. And he has pitched in four games, and he's thrown 30 innings, given up 19 hits and 3 earned runs. He has walked 11, though, to 29 strikeouts, so that strikeouts-to-walk ratio is not that great. Love to see that go down, of course, as a Boston fan. Ross Detweiler, who is 1-0 and started three games, also has a .9 ERA, but he's only thrown 20 innings. He's given up 2 earned runs. He's struck out 11 and walked 3. Next, we have the guy of the hour, the man of this early part of the season, and that is Matt Harvey. Harvey is 4-0 with a .93 ERA. He started 4 games. He's only given up 10 hits. 10 hits in 29 innings, and that goes out about to an average of .108 against. So that's fairly impressive if I do say so myself, and he struck out 32 and walked 9. We're going to be getting into him a little bit later along with Steven Strasburg. Next, we have Mike Minor for the Atlanta Braves, who is 2-1 with a .95. He started three games, pitched 19 innings, and he struck out 16 and only walked 1, so great control from Mike Minor. Next, we have Paul Mahalam, who is actually a Pittsburgh Pirate last year, and he is now an Atlanta Brave this year, and he has a 1.03 ERA, started 4 games, 26 and a third innings pitched, with 25 strikeouts and 8 walks. And these five guys are really fast, and I talked about this earlier. You know, you see these teams that are on top of the division, and you see these great pitching performances, and that's exactly it. Clay Buchholz with 4 wins, and he is a below subpar, sub-1 ERA, which is amazing. Now you see 2 Atlanta Braves pitchers in the top 5. And what are they, you know, as a team? They are 13-5. So really, it correlates good pitching and wins. It really does more than good hitting every day. I mean, you can easily lose a slugfest if the other team can also hit just as well as you. So very interesting to see from those guys. And even going to the sixth guy is Matt Moore. And he's 4-0 on the year with a 1.04 ERA. Pitched a stellar game, and he's only given up 10 hits as well, and he's a .116 average against, but he has walked 14 batters and struck out 29. So, you know, very interesting to see these guys. I mean, I could go down to probably number 25 and say all these guys are amazing, which is very true. I mean, you got Clayton Kershaw, who's 15th at the ERA with a 1.88, and he's 2-2 right now. Of course, giving up 6 earned runs through 4 starts, which is, you know, very interesting. That's less than to a start, if I'm doing my math correctly, and he's lost 2 games, so, you know, that's important, you know, the way pitching starts off your year and really goes throughout your year, so very interesting to see from those guys right now. But anyways, we're going to transition a little bit over to Felix Hernandez, who is able to pick up his 100th win, so congrats to Felix Hernandez. I think he's probably one of the best pitchers out there in the game. Love him as a competitor. He's very, very good. You know, he was able to get the money he deserved, really, and to stay in Seattle through I'm not sure how long, but his Major League stats, he's 178, 100 wins and 78 losses with a 3.19 ERA through that span, and he's pitched 23 complete games, 9 shutouts. If I'm not mistaken, he threw, a no-hitter, not a perfect game, but a no-hitter, and he was able to really do a good job at that point. And, you know, he's gotten better throughout the years. Of course, he started in 2005, looks like for half a season. In 2006, he had a 4.52 ERA. 2007, able to get that down to 3.92. 2008, a 3.45. 2009, probably one of his best years at a 2.49 mark. In 2010, when I believe he won the Cy Young, a 2.27 mark, which is amazing, and it dropped. It went back up to 3.47 in 2011 and 3.06. But really, anything under 3 or around 3 is spectacular, and that really shows that you are an ace. So great to see from Hernandez, and in his game where he was able to pick up his 100th win, he threw 6 innings, gave up 5 hits, no earned runs, and 9 strikeouts. So very good game. Of course, it was against the lowly Houston Astros, but at the same time, a win is a win. And the Mariners were able to win that game 7-1. So good to see from Felix Hernandez and that whole Seattle Mariners team. And, you know, good to see for such a fantastic athlete that he's able to have such a feat like that. Anyways, next we're going to be going on to a debate here, which is perfect. I love debates. We have Steven Strasburg on one side and then Matt Harvey on the other. Steven Strasburg, you know, a phenomenon from San Diego State, able to throw in the hundreds with ease, with, you know, movement. His curveball is devastating. His changeup is amazing. I mean, you saw it with his first start in the major leagues, I believe against Pittsburgh. He struck out 12 batters, I believe, in 6 innings. Just amazing work. And, you know, then he had his Tommy John surgery, and he's back from that now. He's very much healthy, and he's still very much a good pitcher. But this Matt Harvey guy, who, you know, came up with not as much, you know, talk around him, still probably one of the best prospects, you know, we've seen in a while. You know, been both these guys, I think height is very important for pitchers. 6'4", 225 for Matt Harvey, and he went to college, actually, in North Carolina. And Steven Strasburg at 6'4 and 200 pounds, so both pretty much the same build. Strasburg weighing a little bit less. And, you know, Harvey, born in 89, looks like March 27th, so he just had his birthday. And Strasburg, born in 88, so they are both the same age at this point. And really fast, just Matt Harvey was able to out-duel the Nationals on April 19th, so last Friday. And the Mets were able to win this game, it looks like 7-1. Harvey threw 7 innings, gave up 4 hits, 1 earned run, walked 3, and struck out 7, and his ERA was at a .93 mark. And Strasburg lost and picked up the loss, of course. He gave up 2 earned runs in 6 innings, but overall gave up 4 runs, so his defense wasn't doing the best behind him. He did give up 2 home runs, and it looks like both of those, one was to actually Ike Davis, and one was to Lucas Duda. So, and you know, very interesting. Strasburg has given up the long ball, you know, not a ton, but he is very susceptible to giving it up because he is such a big power pitcher. But interesting, this year, Strasburg is at a 1-3 mark with a 2.96 ERA, which throughout a whole season would be fantastic. Harvey at a 4-0 mark with a .93 ERA. Just very interesting to see. You know, Strasburg had a great start in his first start, not giving up a run, throwing 7 innings and, you know, striking out 3 and only giving up 3 hits. But in his last couple starts against Atlanta, he lost. He looks like he gave up 0 earned runs against Atlanta, but he still lost the game, which, of course, is unfortunate. And then he goes against the New York Mets and gives up 2 earned runs and also loses the game. So unfortunate to see from him. But it's interesting, you know, Matt Harvey, this guy who's able to throw just as hard as Steven Strasburg, who's doing just as good as him, and Strasburg gets the praise out of college and everything, you know, number one overall pick, this guy's amazing, he's up in a year, basically. And Harvey taking the route that, you know, he takes an extra year, he makes sure, you know, maybe the whole system with the New York Mets, making sure he's ready to go and ready to pitch, and you know, he does a great, great job. And it's very interesting to see because I believe both are outstanding pitchers, especially young guys for both their teams. So I don't know. I don't know who to say who's better or who's worse. But Matt Harvey definitely has shown that he should be an elite pitcher. Obviously not now, but in a certain point in the future because of what he's been able to do. Anyways, we're going to take a live look-in, not really a live look-in, but the Atlanta Braves are up 3-0 on the Colorado Rockies here in the top of the second inning, it looks, with 2 home runs hit by the Braves. One was a Justin Upton home run, which brings his total up to 10, so he's the first player in the major leagues this year to have a double-digit home run total. And then Dan Uglow also was able to tack on another home run for his fourth. And it looks like they have a no-hitter right now. Mike Minor only throwing one inning. And Jeff Francis is on the mound for Colorado. And so far he's, you know, realized the tough time that he's going to have to handle with this Atlanta lineup. With Andrelton Simmons at the start, B.J. Upton, Justin Upton, Freddie Freeman, Chris Johnson, who has the best average in the game right now at 417, Evan Gaddis, who is at 245, but very interesting, cool story for him. Then Dan Uglow, Reed Johnson even, and then Mike Minor, the pitcher, of course, which should be an easy out. And, you know, they've now moving to the bottom of the second, and Troy Tulowitzki will now be the batter for them. But really fast, we're going to tune into the other game really fast. We have looks like the Miami Marlins versus the Minnesota Twins, and they are in the bottom of the fifth inning. The Twins are up 4-2 here, it looks like, at Target Field, and they're up to bat. And so far for Miami, Mahoney is able to get two RBIs for them. And for, excuse me, the Twins, they're up 4-2. And let's see if I can see this. Arcia is able to pick up three RBIs. He's the DH for the day, as well as Morneau was able to pick up an RBI in this game. And of course, Maurer at a 364 mark for the Minnesota Twins so far throughout this season. So good to see from him. You know, I'm a fan of Joe Maurer. I think he's a great hitter. I mean, really just a pure hitter from the left-handed side, and also a pretty good defender as well. Unfortunately, with his knee problems, he's more of a, you know, transitioning to a first baseman. Anyways, guys, we're going to be taking another quick break, and we're going to be going over some offensive categories, talking about Justin Upton in the home run total, and very interesting to see with Justin Upton because his RBI total is kind of low. So we'll talk about, you know, how important is a home run really, you know, to a team, and is it more important, you know, to see something else. Anyways, we're going to get into that right after this break, guys. This is KSMC 89.5. My name is Daniel Conmey, and this is RBI. Keep it locked here for our last segment, right when we come back here. Alrighty, guys, and we are back here on KSMC 89.5, and this is our last segment for the day, unfortunately. But really fast, we're going to be going over some offensive categories and the rankings so far throughout April 23rd in the season. And we start off with the home run category, because, you know, the home run is glamorous. It's something, you know, people love to see. And Justin Upton just tallied his 10th today, actually, and that puts him ahead of J.P. Arencibia, John Buck, Chris Davis, Dexter Fowler, Bryce Harper, and Mark Reynolds in second with 7. And very interesting to see that this group of people up at the top of the home run list. And, you know, when you think of home runs, you think of RBIs that go with it, and you think of people who are producing. Very interesting to see that Justin Upton, with his 10th home run on the year, he only has 14 RBIs. And very interesting because, basically, if you say all those 10 home runs are solo shots, he only has 4 RBIs on other opportunities to get a run across. So, you know, is the home run really that important? Of course, when you see Dexter Fowler with 7 home runs and 10 RBIs, but he is more of a leadoff man, so, you know, a different kind of story. But Justin Upton, you know, third in the order, someone that's supposed to be producing RBIs more than home runs. So would you rather see a guy, you know, I mean, almost strike out with no one on base and, you know, able to get that big hit when there's first and second, or, you know, the base is loaded or second and third? Very interesting to see for me. I don't know. You know, home runs are cool to watch. You know, you love seeing a ball is getting absolutely blasted out of the park. But at the same time, how beneficial is it to your team? You know, I think RBIs, obviously, you know, in this day and age are the most important thing. And, of course, on-base percentage is very, very important because however many times you get on base, you give other teammates a better opportunity for you to score you. Anyways, we're going to be going to the RBI category. And this is Mike Napoli, who is at 25 RBIs. And, of course, he only has 4 home runs, so interesting there. John Buck and Chris Davis are tied with 22. And then Prince Fielder and Brandon Phillips at 21, and then Brian Braun at 19. So interesting here, Napoli, I think picking up 8 RBIs in his last 3 games. So he was able to hit a grand slam, you know, a big spot. He was able to score a lot of runs or get a lot of RBIs. Of course, it was on a home run, but interesting to see the RBI totals so far throughout this year. And, you know, next we're gonna go to the walk total, because I think walks are very, very intriguing, because a lot of people overlook them. They, you know, they go towards your on-base percentage. They don't go towards your, your average, which, of course, you know, is a whole different thing. A lot of people look at average to see how well they're doing. Well, I think walks and hits combined are the most important thing, which, you know, of course, that gives you on-base percentage. And, you know, the leading walkman this year is Joey Votto so far with 26. And this is an amazing stat. And, yes, I am on the Joey Votto bandwagon, if you haven't noticed already. The next guy is at 15, who is Lucas Duda, with 15 walks. So Joey Votto has walked 9 more times. And now that's a testament to Joey Votto and really his performance throughout the years. And I know a lot of people respect him. Now, unfortunately, he hasn't had a lot of extra base pop this year. He only has 1 double, 1 triple, and 3 home runs, and only 7 RBIs. But he has 14 runs, and that's pretty close to the top, as the leader has 19, and that's Carlos Gonzalez and Austin Jackson. So really, I think walks go, you know, a very unheard of stat that's very, very important. And of course, this next stat is very, very important to, you know, if you're a leadoff man or if you're someone of that nature, and that is stolen bases. And leading in that category is Jacoby Ellsbury at this point with 9 stolen bases, then Coco Crisp, and then Everett Cabrera, and then Andrew McCutchen with 7 and then 6 and 6 respectively. So I think, you know, stolen bases are very much, you know, important in seeing the game and watching the game. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but, you know, you get a Jacoby Ellsbury, you get someone on that's fast on first base with 2 outs, and he's able to steal second base. I mean, we saw this with, you know, of course, 2004 when Mariano Rivera was trying to close out the game in the ALCS against the Red Sox, and Dave Roberts comes in a pinch runner for Kevin Millar, able to steal second base. Bill Miller hits a ball out the middle, and he's able to score. And I think it's, you know, a very easy way to steal a run. When I say steal a run, you know, 2 outs, nothing's happening. You get Jacoby Ellsbury on base. He, you know, with a walk or something, a hit, a single, he's able to steal second. Next thing you know, he's in scoring position. You know, you just need one batter to get a hit, and next thing you know, you have a run. And it's amazing how I think stolen bases sometimes don't necessarily, you know, develop in a game. Like, oh, you know, he can steal a lot of bases, and it gets, you know, kind of tucked under the home runs and the RBIs and what you're able to do and the glamorous type of stats. Stolen bases is very important, as you see Jacoby Ellsbury with 9. Hasn't been caught stealing this whole year yet. Cross my fingers he never does. We'll see about that one. But next we're going to go to on-base percentage. And on-base percentage is a very interesting stat to me as well, because, like I said, walks are important and hits are important. So bring them together and you get on-base percentage. And leading in this category right now is Shin-Soo Choo with a 521 on-base percentage. And then right behind him is his teammate Joey Votto with a 500 on-base percentage. Then Lance Berkman at a 484 mark. Lucas Duda at a 475. Chris Davis at a 474. And really interesting to see with these guys, Lucas Duda hitting 273, but his on-base is 475. You know, a lot of people will look at that 273 average and say, you know, he's not up to par, especially at the start of the year when, you know, your stats are very elevated. But you look at that on-base percentage, you say he's having a very great year. So very interesting to see from that fact. You know, it does matter how hard you're actually hitting the ball, but at the same time, from a team standpoint, it really is important that you get on base. Next, we're going to go over to the hit category, and leading with hits this year, it's Jose Altuve and Torii Hunter. And of course, Jose Altuve, probably the shortest man in Major League Baseball to be an All-Star. He's a 377 average this year. He does a home run, a triple, and 4 doubles. So he does have some extra base pops so far. Then Torii Hunter as well. Torii Hunter seems ageless to me. I mean, I remember when he was with the Minnesota Twins and the greatest thing ever there. And then he goes to the Angels. I thought he was on the end of his career. And really, he's still doing a fantastic job. And he looks like he's at a 392 mark at this point with a 438 on base percentage. And he's a great table setter for that Detroit Tigers lineup with Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder. And I'm pretty sure he's hitting usually second right behind Austin Jackson. And that lineup just sounds crazy to me. Austin Jackson, Torii Hunter, Prince Fielder, and Miguel Cabrera, or vice versa with Miguel Cabrera first and then Prince Fielder. An amazing, amazing top 4 of your batting order. But, You know, it's one of those things that you could have an amazing, amazing top four, but really it depends on how much you produce. And let's move over to the average category, and leading an average is Chris Johnson, a third baseman for the Atlanta Braves. And Johnson was actually the third baseman for the Houston Astros last year, and he was traded, and he's finding a home very much so with the Atlanta Braves with 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, and a .407 average. So he's definitely pummeled the ball a lot this year. He's only been in 16 games out of the team's 18, so he's sat 2 games already, but at the same time, he's has a good year. And of course, these are all inflated stats. If someone's able to hit .400 throughout the whole year, your name is Ted Williams. He's the only man to do that, if I'm not mistaken. So really interesting to see from this category with average. You know, it's a more of a glamorous category than on-base percentage, but it's a very, very important category to just to see how many hits you're, you know, are falling for hits. You know, you can hit a ball extremely, extremely hard right at a guy, and of course that doesn't necessarily prove to anyone, especially to me, that you hit the ball well or you did this well, because it's an out. So you have to go off of feel really with that. That's how I feel about that certain situation with, you know, baseball. I don't know. I feel like I think about the game differently, or maybe because I was able to grow up in the game and, you know, play the game for the longest time, which I'm very thankful for, able to make the high school ranks and stuff like that, and having a chance to continue in college. But, you know, it's a different type of game. You know, you see the average, and, you know, you have fans, and, you know, oh, this guy's down. And Justin Pedroia, I think a couple of years ago, said it greater than anyone else. You know, a reporter asked him, you know, your average is down right now. And Justin Pedroia says, are you watching the games? It's like, I'm putting on a laser show out there. You know, like, and you know, it was probably very, very true. But unfortunately, all these balls that Justin Pedroia was hitting as quote-unquote lasers were right at people. And of course, his average wasn't reflecting on how well he was actually doing. And that is a very, very good point brought up by Justin Pedroia. Probably my favorite player, especially because he is on the Red Sox. I feel like I've been very Red Sox heavy this whole broadcast, basically, so I apologize for that. But really a great player, and the way he says it is very much how you should believe it as a baseball player in a baseball mind. It doesn't matter about average, it doesn't matter about this, it's about how you feel day in and day out. And Justin Pedroia, a couple of years ago at the start of the year, thought he was hitting a laser show, and that is very much true. So anyways, guys, that is all the time I have left for today. We're ending a little bit early, 10 minutes early, but very good show today. I definitely rambled on a lot left and right, so hopefully you guys are able to understand most of it. We'll try to have a better show next week, of course. It'll be next Tuesday from 12 to 1 once again. This is RBI, and this is KSMC 89.5 FM. You know, the year's coming to a close here at St. Mary's. We have a little bit over a month left, I believe a month left from this day, the 23rd. We're able to get out May 23rd, so I am quite excited for that. Of course, we will be taking a hiatus over the summer because I will not be here. I will be home. But enjoy the rest of your beautiful Tuesday here in Northern California. It's beautiful, beautiful here, especially the last couple weeks. So great to see some summer weather. But anyways, guys, that'll be all for me. Have a great day, and watch some baseball. See you guys later.